certainly appreciate everyone who's come this way. Got yourself a visitor. Hope that you make yourself feel welcome because you are. On behalf of Corinth, I want to make sure that you know that you're welcome. And I want to make sure that you know that it's in order to follow the Lord when you're in the Lord's house. We believe in following the Spirit of God. We're following God's Spirit. But there are evidences in following the Spirit of God. Don't believe in trying to become enthusiastic and make things up. That's sometimes called following the Spirit, but that reminds me more of enthusiasm than following the Lord and being spiritual. So I want to request that you pray that we might try to bring some things out tonight that would reach beyond the hearing of the ear and reach into the heart. I'm thankful for what's already, it's already been said. I'm thankful for the one who's willing to step out. I appreciate the good talk. I was reflecting last night on what was said last night, and I'm not trying to exalt anyone or embarrass anyone, but I appreciate what was said, the way it was said. And I hope that we'll all remember to support one another in prayer as the days come, the days ahead of us come around. I have to admit that my heart's a bit heavy for Brandon tonight. I wondered as we were driving up the road, when he was over here, put his head down, I wondered after we heard later on if we shouldn't have invited him to come back in and pray for him. A soul is a precious thing. And when those opportunities come around, we need to capitalize on them. We don't know what we have tomorrow. So I hope and pray that you'll remember to pray for him. Now that's a serious thing. And the time right now is important. There's nothing more important for him than his soul's salvation. And I got to say, my heart's heavy for him. I'm troubled tonight that he's not here. And I hope that we'll pray. That's very serious. And I hope that we'll all be careful not to stand in his way. He looks to those about him. He looks to those around him. If we're, most time, especially young people, they're just as serious about something as those around them are serious about it. And if we're not serious about it, then he'll just think there's really nothing to it. That would be the wrong impression to leave. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. It's very important. I can't even begin to explain, describe the different times growing up. What a wonderful blessing to grow up in a community I got to grow up in. Just about everybody in my class was Missionary Baptist. I remember when different ones got saved or told about getting saved. There's a big bunch of us in that community. And it was known. When somebody was lost, everybody, I'm talking the whole community. The church I went to, there'd be about 200 there on a Sunday. Just old time Baptists come together to worship. And everybody knew what was going on, and somebody was lost, somebody we knew was lost, everybody might think behave, because you want you to behave all the time, but you especially wanted to be careful what you said around those lost people, those lost children, those lost individuals, because we wanted them to be saved. God bless you, blessed for that. I hope that we'll too. We'll keep those things on our mind. I said that by way of just to remind you. So let's pray to that end. Want to take up some thoughts tonight out of Matthew chapter 9, the Lord being our helper. Perhaps even take up some points out of Luke chapter 18 as well. But we might begin reading out of Matthew chapter 9. And here we find it written, where the Lord is at on a particular occasion. He has come to a place where the man who we'll know as the Apostle Matthew, the writer of the book of Matthew, is where he meets him and calls Matthew to follow him. Now Matthew was a publican or a tax collector, one who collected taxes. He wasn't very popular. But especially to those Pharisees who really loved their money. We don't know of any Pharisees alive in our day who really loved their here, and the Lord met some here. We had to engage the person here. I notice in Matthew chapter 9, we'll begin reading with verse 9, and it says, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He's called Levi in the other Gospels. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, and we understand this to be in Matthew's house where he went to, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples in this house. This is where they're gathered at. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We'll stop reading there. That's given us a reading lesson out of Matthew 9. Reading verses 10 down through verse 13. To go with this, we might look over in the book of Luke and in chapter 18 and read another short section of verses just to help us to get our thought before us here. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And here we read, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, I tell you, this publican went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee, this one who prayed with himself. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, the mistakes we may have made, this also adds to our reading lesson, verse 9 through verse 14 of the 18th chapter. I'd ask you to consider with me these two sections of the Word of God. And as we consider these, we might bring in some other thoughts. But as we consider these two sections, these two portions of God's Word, I notice in the first verses that we read, Jesus, he called this man, Matthew, out, a man who was a publican. And I noticed that this man, Matthew, this tax collector, this man who said at the receipt of custom there, at any rate, if you're not comfortable thinking of him as a publican, would you think of him as one who said at the receipt of custom? As he was with this man, Matthew, in Matthew's house, there were these people who the Pharisees were a very religious group, rigid religious group, ones who that emphasized the external deeds of work. In other words, they emphasized deeds, things that they should do, and that in these deeds that they considered themselves righteous in that. I believe in Luke, we get an idea about what these people were like, because here in Luke, what we read, there was one of these men who the Lord called to our attention was indeed a Pharisee. And I noticed the way that this Pharisee, the Lord calls our attention to how this man prayed, or this type of person prayed, because he says about this Pharisee, here, when he spake this parable out of Luke 18, says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, in my example, in the example out of the book of Matthew, these Pharisees, when they saw who was eating with Jesus, obviously they despised what they saw. What they were—they fit the pattern of these who the Lord talks about in this parable in Luke 18. These Pharisees who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, oftentimes I'm afraid what turns people against God is they look on people who claim to be religious and they attribute to God that God causes them to act the way they act. I would like for you to notice with me here that the Lord had nothing to say good about this Pharisee who despised others and thought himself righteous. The Lord, he didn't take his side. He points him out as the bad example. And I would like to note some other points here about this Pharisee. Now the Lord, when he starts in his parable here about this Pharisee, he said about this Pharisee, he said the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, I think at times about the type of prayers that I've heard. Now, when we go to prayer, I'm thankful when that we pray, that we, though some pray out loud, and I just want to say this, I'm thankful that a people are still concerned, so sincere, that they'll pray out loud. I'm thankful for that. That may make you uncomfortable, but it's a good thing, and I'll tell you why. Because when a number, they pray out loud, you can't make out clearly what one's saying and what the other's saying, and that's good. You're not supposed to be listening to somebody else praying. You're supposed to be praying for yourself. When we have prayer, everybody is supposed to be praying. You say, I can't understand what this one's saying. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to enter into your closet and shut the door. That is, you can do that right out in a multitude of people. You can enter in, just you and the Lord, shut the world out. I think about this atrocious idea that you can take prayer out of school. You can't take prayer out of school. There's no way. Why, you can, people can pray in school, nobody else know a thing about it going on. Yeah. People enter into their closet and shut the door, shut the world out. Some pray aloud, some pray silently, but when you're praying to God. Now this Pharisee stood by himself. The Lord said, that Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God knew what he was doing. He just wasn't praying to God. Why? Because he was self-righteous. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. And in his own self-righteousness, he despised others. Now, I'm an old-time missionary Baptist. What I am, you get me, that's what you get. And an old-time missionary Baptist, I'm not willing to trade. I think the old-time missionary Baptist is the only religious group on the face of the earth that's got anything to lose. They're the only ones got anything to lose. Oh, when somebody else wants to meddle in your business and wants to come and be a part of it to try to pull it down, they don't have a thing in the world to lose. Come join us and be just like us. Well, the missionary Baptist is the only one got anything to lose. Because that's the only church the Lord set up. I'm going to be honest with you now. Bible says the Lord set up one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the Bible. And that's the Lord now. And you know something about this too? When you teach this, and honey, if there's anybody here that don't agree with me, I love you. But here's what you can find out. You can verify this. Because all you got to do is talk to the author of this book right here. That's God. I'm not afraid of somebody taking this up with God and praying with him over it, because I've already been down that road and I know where he led me. I know he took me on this. So when you take all the Bible, you take all the Bible, you can only be one thing. Now, where does this get us to? Where in the world did that Pharisee, how did that work into that Pharisee point? I'm going to tell you that you can find yourself being self-righteous if you're not careful right there. You can be proud. You can be proud and despise others now if you're not careful. And there's no reason to be proud in the Lord's house. You should be humbled every time it comes to your attention. You should be humbled that of all the people on the face of the earth, that for some reason the gospel came by, the Lord sent the church close to you, and you believe and got to be part of it. Of all the millions on the face of the earth, you got to be part of it. You should be humbled. Shouldn't be like these self-righteous Pharisees. And if you're not careful, you'll start despising others. You know what you got, and you should be proud of it, but it should make you humble. It shouldn't make you proud. Now, so how about this Pharisee? The Lord calls him out and says this. That Pharisee was self-righteous. Now, notice the way these self-righteous Pharisees acted. See if there's any self-righteousness in us here. Anybody thinks about themselves this way, well, notice. What these Pharisees did in the book of Matthew chapter 9. It says that the Lord, while he had publicans and sinners in the house where he was at, eating with them. And then these Pharisees, these self-righteous, so-called religious people, saying there what God had had for them to be. You know, a Pharisee, we get the idea of what a Pharisee was. Think about Paul's attitude. Think about Paul's attitude before he got convicted. He got him a good dose of old-fashioned conviction out there on the road of Damascus. But what was he? He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee and of the law. He was blameless. Blameless. He was the model. If somebody had posters back then, I don't reckon they did. But if they did, Paul would have been the poster boy. Back to Saul, he'd have been the poster boy. And in his self-righteousness and in his zeal, he even went so far to persecute the very people following the very God who he said he was worshiping. Yeah. How far will you go if you're not close to God? You're like those who worship God with your mouth, honor him with your lips, and your heart is far from him. Be cautious. You do more than talk about it and live it. That is, get close to God and stay close to God. You might be surprised where you'll lead. Might just be surprised. Now, these Pharisees think about this. Well, they looked around and they said, now this man Jesus, now don't you realize that what they were expecting to be the Son of God, to be the Emmanuel? Why, if he'd have been what they thought he'd be, who do you think he'd have come right to and wanted to be with? Them. Them. We're the model people of God. He should want to be with us. That don't bother me a bit. Now, the lights go out. The Lord gets through with y'all. The door's back there, but I'm going to stay right here preaching. That don't bother me a bit. So now, when we talk about this Pharisee, we talk about this Pharisee trying I talk about what it was and present themselves as to what this is what God wanted. When they saw the Son of God, or this one, they were watching him. In the back of their mind, don't you know, that was just beating them to pieces. Why is he going in there with these sinners and with these publicans? Why, he should want to be with us. That should be our lot. Now I want you to know that to be with the Lord, sometimes you got to go where you necessarily might not want to go. That's just what he's got in mind for you. I remember, I'm not going to call off any churches, but I remember I joined somewhere one time after I had opened my big mouth and said, there's no way I'd ever join over there. No way I'd do it. You let me tell you something. If I was going to be honest and serve the Lord, I had to go. And when I went, he blessed me. It was a wonderful blessing. Now look at these Pharisees. What did they do? Well, they said, look at these sinners down there with the Lord. You know, there'll be people out here in your communities, people who that you would never think that the Lord would have anything to do with them. And if you're not careful, you'll take me to the old Pharisee saying, that's a sinner. Well, that person's a sinner. That person's to be shunned. Let me tell you and remind you that God loves the sinner. It's the sin that he hates. God loves the sinner, though. And what we're to do, look at the model of Jesus. Look at who we're supposed to be following. Look at the head of this church. The head of this church during his personal ministry here. Why? He was down there where the publicans and the sinners were at. That's where he is at. Are you still following him today? Or have you got an idea that maybe the Lord wouldn't be called in places like that? Lord, we've been places trying to preach the gospel. This tower right here, we wear them around places like this right here, nice church buildings. And honey, you can preach in a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt just as easy. Been in the food lines, been out in places where these mission points, there's people coming around, they're just thrilled to get to hear a little something. The Lord, he don't look at what you wear. He's looking right down here on this inside. That don't mean we got an excuse to run around here naked without any clothes on. Now, I'm not saying that a bit. But these things which that seem so fine, that don't make us any closer to God. That doesn't make us any closer to God whatsoever. Now let's think about this Pharisee. This Pharisee is looking at his prayer now. Now his prayer. When it came before God, the Pharisee stood praying with himself. God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. I would like to stop right there and think about what that man said. He said, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. Now the Lord, speaking by Isaiah, he said, these people, they say to me, that is to God, go stand by yourself, for we're holier than thou. We, the people, are holier than thou. Boy, if that's not a self-righteous group, if that is not a self-righteous group, pride will always prevent grace from coming to us. Pride hinders. What does this man say? I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I would like for you to know that the whole world has been weighed in the balance of God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, including that Pharisee. And my brother and my sister, I'll tell you, the apostle to the Gentiles, a man such as Paul, he said this, Christ came to save sinners of who he felt himself to be chief. Now that's getting it about right. That's getting it about right. You all sin. I do too. We don't blunder. We don't make a mistake. We didn't come short. We sinned. Break it down. It wasn't I made a mistake. No, you sinned. And I sinned. And when we say we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's where the devil wants you. Wow, you're doing just right now. That's perfect. You're just doing perfect. You don't no need to pray. No need to talk to the Lord. He'd make a little perfect Pharisee out of all of us. Well, this man, he prayed with himself, saying to God, well, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Or even as this publican. Notice how he despised his fellow man. And I want you to know when you're a child of God, one of the great marks of the child of God is that we look on our fellow man and we have love in our heart. Love which God shed abroad in our heart when we were saved. And out of that love, we should see in him the image of the Almighty. God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. And that in and of itself makes every human being of value far above any material thing on the face of this earth. Every individual
that bears the image and the likeness of our Maker. And that in and of itself, he bears, she bears the fingerprints of Creator God on them. They're precious. They're precious. And that life that they have is precious. And that soul that they bear will go on into eternity. It can't just be snuffed out and forgotten. It's going to go on and on and on in eternity somewhere. That is precious. And for us not to take on any likeness of this Pharisee, should cause us deep shame that we would talk to God and want that out of us. Want it out of us, period. Out of us. Now Christ, he looked on these old publicans. That Pharisee looked and said, as he is talking to God, he said, I'm thankful. I'm not like that man right there. And just down the road, the very Son of God was having a meal with me, and just like that. Just like that. He's thinking, God, I'm not like him. I tell you what he should have been saying, God, help me be more like him. Help me be like him. In other words, let me be like the one who's there with you. Now, when the Lord saw this, I want to point out something that the Lord calls to our attention about this whole thing. The Lord, he said this. Now, he didn't come righteous. Now, the righteous he is talking about is the righteous like this Pharisee, the self-righteous, the ones who counted themselves. He said, I didn't come to call the self-righteous, but I come to call sinners to repentance. Now, I want us to think about some examples. What does it look like? What does God tell us in his word that it looks like to have somebody calling on him who sees themselves as a sinner? You know, one of the things that I saw when I was working around school, what just made young men and young women in school so mad, people would do something wrong. They'd do something wrong to them. And the worst thing it seemed possible was that they wouldn't claim it. They wouldn't just own that they didn't. They wouldn't admit that they did that wrong. They wouldn't own it. They'd go on and they would ignore that they had done something wrong. But as long as they could admit it, as long as they could acknowledge it and admit it, then they could continue to be friends and go on. But as long as they were unwilling to admit, to acknowledge, to own that they'd done something wrong, why, there was no way the whole friendship stood in jeopardy. And I want you to know that that seems to be a law of nature, something that God has given to us, because until we are willing to own where we stand in the eyes of God, until we're willing to admit it, our relationship stands broken with God. And until we're willing to admit it, to acknowledge, to see where we're at, we're like that self-righteous Pharisee who's righteous in their own eyes. That's why people won't admit that they're wrong to you when they do you wrong, because they don't think they are wrong. They're self-righteous. They're right in their own eyes. They got that perfect little Pharisee nature about them. Got that perfect Pharisee nature about them. So let's see what the Lord says about it. What does it look like when we own it and we come to God? There's this word that kept jumping out to me as I was studying this today. And that word is mercy. Mercy. Those who see themselves as sinners, they come to God wanting mercy. They're looking for mercy. You know what that word mercy means? They're looking for help. They're looking for help. It means help. That's the idea. Help me. God, have mercy on me. It means God, help me. Help me. I notice here that there are a number of examples in God's word. One that comes to mind over in the book of Mark and in chapter 10. Now we notice here, blind Bartimaeus on the Jericho road. Talked about him the other night. Old blind Bartimaeus sitting there on the Jericho road, and he heard Jesus was coming by. Now, he couldn't see Jesus. He was blind. There's so much about blind Bartimaeus that fits us. that fits our very condition. We hear about Jesus. We hear people talk about Jesus. But we've not seen Jesus. But even though we've not seen Jesus, we believed anyway. And because we believed, we found what the Lord told Thomas. Thomas, he wasn't present when the Lord showed himself on that occasion there among the apostles. And when Thomas showed up later, the apostles told him, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "I will not believe lest I put my fingers into the nail scars and thrust my hand into his side." The Lord showed back up. And he said, "Thomas, come, put your finger in the nail scars. Thomas, come, put your hand where the spear pierced my side." He said, "But just don't doubt me. Believe, but don't doubt." Thomas didn't have to take his finger and stick it in. He didn't have to touch the Lord. He fell down and said, "My Lord and my God." The Lord said, "Thomas, because you've seen, blessed art thou, because you have seen and believed. But more blessed are those who have not seen, but believe anyway." I want you to know, here's blind Bartimaeus. He hadn't seen, but he heard the Lord was coming by. What does he call out for? I notice here that when the Lord was passing by, a noise was heard. And when he heard that it was Jesus, verse 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What was he calling out? He's saying, "Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me." Those that were standing by charged him, said, "Hold your peace. I guarantee, when you get to calling out and asking the Lord to help you, the devil's going to come right by and try to hinder. The devil's going to be right there." But those who believe the Lord, who must have what they know only the Lord can give. In other words, when they see themselves as sinners, well, I tell you what, when you see yourself that you're a sinner, there's a price that must be paid. And when you see that that sin is your own, I want you to remember there's only one who can pay that price. Only one. And you got to have his help, or you'll get no help at all. That's the only help available. The only help in all eternity. In all the history of mankind. All the only help at all is the help that we find in Jesus. This blind man was convinced because he yelled out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." When those people told him to be quiet, the scripture says right here, and he cried out the more a great deal. Boy, trying to tell him to hush. Trying to tell him to hush. That's like some of these old-time Baptists. They tell you, just pray to yourself. And some of these little fancy-dan preachers come in, they're going to stand up front. We're just going to, everybody just bow your head, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Hold on a second, fella. Not among us. That we're going to cry out all so much the more. Now, shh, be quiet. Whoa, you don't know. You got to hold up now. The Lord has saved our soul and made Baptists out of us. He called us a long time before you showed up. That door opens both ways. Hit the sidewalk, fella, if you don't get in line or hit the sidewalk. The Lord was here a long time before you got here. So, when it comes to telling somebody to quit calling on Jesus, I recall the scripture says, even though the devil's there to resist you, resist the devil. He's got to flee. Guess what? That man, he called out so much the more. And notice what he said. He called out the more a great deal. The more a great deal. What did he say? "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me." He knew where he knew what he needed. He knew where he was at. And he's not a self-righteous Pharisee standing over here by himself and saying, "God, thank you that I'm not like other men. God, if I was like other men, I might sit by the road and yell out. I'm already righteous. No, but when you see yourself a sinner and you realize there's only one way to get help, you can't be denied. When you take God's promise, while we're talking Creator God, the God of the whole planet, the God who sustains life, and the devil is going to keep us from getting to Him. Now, some man or some woman is going to tell us to be quiet, that we can't get to Him. How proud. How foolish. You just keep on calling and see what happens. That man, he saw what happened. Not with the old blind eyes, but he saw with the eye of faith. He saw a living God. He saw a life-giving Son of God. In Adam, we go back and we say, this is where we got this life. But there's a second Adam, an Adam who came from heaven, an Adam born of a virgin, an Adam who gave life. And he gave that life to pay for our penalty of sin. And we, through him, get that eternal life, a life that though we lay down one day in the grave, it's just a sleep. Just a slumber, because he's already promised those who believe in him will never die. Oh no, there's a life got a hold of us, a life that Jesus said, those who believe in him, I've got him right here in my hand, and my hand is covered by the hand of the Father, and nobody, nothing in heaven, in earth, over the earth can take us out of the hand of the Almighty. And you talk about secure. You talk about secure. You got salvation that the devil can't take from you, and if you used to lose your mind, you couldn't give it back. God's got you. God's got you now. That man, he kept crying out for help from the Lord, and the Lord stopped. The Lord stopped. He said, bring him. Bring him up here. Get that man over here. Now he's got my attention. He wouldn't be turned aside. But that's just one example, isn't it? There's an example over here in Matthew 15 where that there was a Canaanite woman. Now the Lord, when he came, oh, there's not even time to get into the confirming of the covenant. That in the last week, the one who had come would confirm the covenant for 1 week, and in the midst of the week being cut off, causing a sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now we don't even have time to get into that. But we know that he came to confirm the covenant to the house of David. What was he confirming? He was confirming that, you know, that promise that God made back there with Abraham way back there in the long ago, even before the children of Israel went down to Egypt, way back there. That promise that God made to him, he out here. That kingdom that was promised to David, that there'd be one never, never fell to sit on the throne of David. There'd always be one there. I'm here. One who come and fulfill all the law. One who would completely take out of the way everything that was required in the law. He said, I'm here. It's me. And all the work of Aaron the high priest, even though they looked to him, they had the promise that one after the order of Melchizedek, the Melchizedek priesthood was at the beginning of day and end of life. It was eternal, just like the Son of God. That's what they looked for. And Christ said, I'm here. It's me. When he came preaching and confirming that covenant to those people that he made promise to, that God made promise to, that Christ was right there when the promise was made, that before the foundation of the world, Christ, he came and took the book out of the right hand of the Father before God would even say, let there be light. Christ committed himself to it. He committed himself to it. And while he came taking that gospel to those people, but along the way, you had your blind Bartimaeus who would yell out for the Lord. You had others from other nations who they heard and they came. The Lord is their God too. He made them all. Didn't matter what color the skin, didn't matter how affluent they were, how poor they were, didn't matter. He is their God too. And on this occasion, there was a Canaanite woman. And boy, you want to talk about a Samaritan being low in the eyes of a Jew, a Canaanite below the shoe. Below the shoe. That's little. Below, that's what they looked on them like. Well, this Canaanite woman, she had a problem. Her daughter lay sick. I want you to notice that you can pray for your children. I want you to notice that the Lord hears prayer for your children. I want you to notice this. She came to the Lord for her children, for her daughter. And when she came, as she said this to him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, help me." And later on, it's going to be translated the other way. Just, she said, "Help me." But he didn't answer her. He answered her not a word. She answered him not a word. And his disciples came and said, "Send her away." He ignored her so much. His mission, his earthly mission, was to the house of Abraham, to the house of Jacob. His mission was to Israel. He turned his face from her, and his disciples said, "Just send her away. Just send her away. For she cries after us. She's just bothering us. Send her away." Lord, I want you to, all of us are supposed to be following this same Jesus. There's somebody in need. Don't you forget. Don't you forget this. The Lord, he stopped. And he said to her, "I'm not sent. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's the mission that he was sent to. Confirm the covenant with the house for 1 week. I've got a charge from my Father, but I'm still God. He tells her that. She came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Another way of saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." He answered and said, "It's not meet, or it's not right. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." He told her right there. He said, "Tell you where you're standing, Miss Canaanite. You're like a dog when it comes down to the human race. Us Gentiles, when it comes down to the human race, we got a lot of Pharisee, a lot of pride about us. But when it comes down to who was picked, Abraham was picked."
Right.
Abraham was picked. Wasn't us. Wasn't our lineage. Wasn't us. When it just comes down to lineage, it's not us. That may be hard to swallow. You may need something to wash that down here in a bit. But it's the truth. When it comes down, but he says this, "It's not meet for me to take the children's bread. This that I've been sent to bring to the house of Israel, it's not right for me to take it and throw it to the dogs." Guess what she says? Now, was she self-righteous? She said, "Truth, Lord. You're right. Truth. I'm not one of them. That's right." He said, "But yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we're Gentiles, and all we've been getting is crumbs. I'm going to tell you what, that's some pretty good crumbs. I've been feasting off some pretty good crumbs. When he said this, when she said that to her, or when she said that to him, she acknowledged. She didn't say, like this old self-righteous Pharisee, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that publican." She said this, "Truth. I am one of these Gentiles. I am not in the house of Abraham. I'm not a Jew, but I'm begging you anyway, help me." Guess what he said? He said this, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." I want you to remember when you're talking to the Lord next time, parents, about your kids, you remember, Jesus Christ is not the respecter of persons. That's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus who you're praying to. This Canaanite woman sought. It's the same Jesus. And he said, "I don't respect persons." And guess what? He can't lie. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Now we find this though, when he came down, remember he said this, he said he didn't come to call the righteous, but he come to call sinners to repentance. He came to call people who knew what they were. And if we say we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, you realize these things, it's hard to come before God and say, "God, thank you that I'm not like other people." Yeah, we should find ourselves like that old publican, beating on our chest. Tell you why you beat on your chest. That's where the agony's at, the old trouble for sin. It's right there. "God, help me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful. Help me, Lord, because I'm a sinner." Remember the Lord's Prayer.
Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You have the power. You have the ability. You are the one who has what I need, Lord. I'm the sinner, but you've got strength. I see it in you. I know it's in you. So help me. Help me. I would ask you to remember the publican when you come before the Lord. But that's just two examples. Because there's another one. There's an example over here in the book of Luke 16. Now here we read about another rich man. He was a certain rich man who filled his days with pleasing himself. Filled his days with acquiring the things that made him happy. His whole life. He fared so well, he spent his life now engaging, going after material things. Now I know for a fact, I was growing up and one of the things that I heard over and over and over, my parents desired to have better things for my sister and I than what they had, and they worked hard to get them. That was the model that was set in front of us. But you let me tell you this, and you let me remind you of this, and you have to keep reminding yourself of this. There's no worthy example in front of a child that leaves God out. You tell you the best thing that you can help your child understand is how do you obtain godliness and find contentment? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Some people can't have a dime in their pocket and it not rule their life. A one dime make an idol worshiper out of them because they got that one dime. Other people can have $10 million and it don't change them a bit. They're just as sincere and godly as they can be. But it's godliness with contentment. Where do you stop? Somewhere to be content, you stop. You stop. You find a place and you stop. That's what contentment's all about. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I have found godliness, and I will spend my time serving the Lord because there are other people going to eternity. And they need to have a godly example before them. Now, this man who's just simply called the rich man, this rich man, he went through his whole life, and I find that he was such a rich man that he had his whole family, had five brothers. This tells us about five brothers in his family. All of them had the opportunity to hear Moses and the prophets, but they ignored him. Why? A man cannot serve God and mammon. You can't love God and mammon. Mammon is simply riches. Mammon is talking about the things of this world. The Apostle Paul warned us about riches over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, they that will be rich fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men in perdition. Which drowned them in perdition. But I got news for you. When did you get people who are lost, who drowned in that position, they only die on this side of eternity. They keep going on forever and ever in perdition once they enter eternity. Right. Now this man, Lazarus, this rich man, now I'm trying to draw your attention to the fact that rich man, I don't know what I did with that, he ended up, he had so many things that he let his life get consumed with, he couldn't even give attention to God. He couldn't even give attention to the word of God that told him about his own condition, and he died and he went to hell. He lifted his eyes in the torments of hell. I wish I could just get a hold of this rug right here and pull back. And you can see the fires of hell. I wish that we could pull that back. You know, I think it would help lost people see what's facing them. But I think it would help saved people to see what they're going to cause lost people to stumble into if we don't take the Lord serious and serve him. We can be, we wouldn't shut, I would never push a person off in hell. By your example, you will. By your example, you can. The Lord's warned us time and time again. But, of course, we got to believe the Lord before those things really apply to us, right? Do we believe the Lord? Do we believe God? Now, I noticed this rich man, when he got to hell,
I noticed something he says right here. He gets, verse 24, he got there in hell and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Another example. Crying out for help. Crying out for mercy. You want to know the rest of the story? What happens when you get to hell and then you start crying out for mercy? You know what happens on this side of eternity here in life and you ask for the Lord's help? I've given you examples of people who found it. I can join that number and I can tell you I found it. Anybody here who's been saved, you can raise your hand and you can say, I've called out. I found it. I found it. The Lord helped me and he helped you if you've been saved. And if you've been saved and you've been trying to serve the Lord, you can point back. It's like landmarks. It's like things along the road. You can go back and you can relate and say, oh yeah, I remember this place right here. I was in this condition. This was going on. I called out on the Lord and he helped me. A little farther back, oh yeah, I remember this one right here. I remember this time. This is happening. This is going on. I called on the Lord and he helped me. When you get to serving the Lord, there's a lot of those you get all. You can just go back and point them out. This one here, I remember, here's this, here, the Lord's helping you. But you know, when you get to eternity and you've never got saved and you call out for that help, you know what that you're going to find? That it's not available. Help ends. The opportunity to get help ends when you go to eternity. That man called out for help and didn't get it. He was told, remember, oh, one of the great torments of hell is the memory. Remember now, you had all these things in your lifetime, and you, quite frankly, were like the Pharisee. You didn't think you needed any help. You went after and obtained all these things in the world. The world was your God. The things of this world was all you were worried about. In other words, Brother Daniel, laid up riches here on earth and you wasn't rich toward God. Heard about that this week, didn't you? You were laid up your riches here on earth and you never got help from God to get the true gift, the gift that comes from God. You know, I was made rich. I came in that night to that church house. Boy, I was a little old lost boy. I didn't have that dime in my pocket. And the breeches I was wearing probably either come out of Sears or come out of Montgomery Ward the catalog. Had to order. If it wasn't out of either one of them, I tell you where I got them from. I had a cousin. I'm the next oldest in line. That's pretty good. Because as many grandkids as there was, there'd be the second one to get the second shot at a pair of breeches. They didn't have as many patches in them. Boy, my sister and that other crew, they come back around, they had more patches in them. But I either had them out of the catalog or I had them that was handed down to me. People looked at me. I bet you if that old Pharisee would have saw me the way I was dressed, he might have said, thank you, I'm not like that publican or like Mike Bronner standing right there. That'd probably been the way that'd been. See the way I was dressed. But the Lord didn't look at me that way. The Lord didn't look at me that way. He came by and all he saw was what was going on right down in here. And when I took the attitude of that blind man, I didn't see the Lord, but I knew he was near. I knew he was near. I could feel it. And what I felt, that experience there, it made me realize I was lost. It didn't feel good. But I knew when he is close by, and I was feeling that, I knew that there was good news. The good news was, there's that same spirit that lets you know that you're lost will come right back and let you know that you're saved if you get help from the Lord. So I trusted him. And he saved me. He saved me there that night. Because I called out on him. I called out. I looked for help. And guess where I received it? Right there. Right there. God had mercy on me. I'm so thankful. I don't have to worry about going off to hell and knowing then that I needed help. But realizing I was never going to get it. Because I rejected. Though the Lord came by several times, many times, but to have rejected and rejected. Oh, what an awful, awful thought. What an awful, awful thought. The good news, though, is that now is the second time. Today is the day
God tells us this, when the message goes out, it's not time to wait for a more convenient season. It's not time to almost believe. It's time to respond. And I'll tell you this too. I think this is just to the sinner, to somebody here who might be lost, the Lord's dealing with. I want you to know this too. Us who are saved people. Us who are saved people. Remember that Canaanite woman? You remember that Canaanite woman? She came to the Lord for her child. Did she not? What about these other children around us? What about your neighbor? I could show you an example out of the Bible where four people took one person on the bed. We call him a gurney today. Brought him, trying to get him to the Lord, so determined that the Lord, we see, saw their faith. Visible faith. Apparent faith. Faith people could see. Is that the kind of faith that we need to have? A visible faith. A faith people can see. And I get out of that we can carry others before the Lord. In our prayers, we can bear them up in prayer. But you're going to have to remember, you come before the Lord, and He says, it's not meat for me to throw. It's not right for me to throw the bread to the children. The children's bread, it's not right for me to take that children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You're right, Lord. But boy, as a dog, I sure enjoy the crumbs. Help me anyway. Boy, I tell you, those crumbs, you can feast off them. Because it's crumbs from the master's table. We're not talking about any old table here. We're talking about the master's table here. Thank God for the crumbs. Thank God for the crumbs. Let's get a song. I've preached long enough. Let's get a song and sing a while here. If you're here and the Lord is dealing with you, why, oh why? Why would you delay? Don't you seek the Lord while there's time and opportunity? Let's stand. Let's sing.